Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So now we're down to four teams in the NFL playoffs, but bigger news even on Monday that, yes, the Dallas Cowboys will need a new head coach for 2025 as Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys organization mutually agreed to part ways. Oh, what does that mean? We're pleased to welcome John Machota from the Dallas area, longtime insider for the Cowboys, now with The Athletic. Ultimately, John, why was this decision made?
It sounds like that the number of years could be maybe a sticking point there. Jerry wanted to go more short term, maybe only a couple years, whereas I think Mike McCarthy would want more stability for himself and his assistant coaches. So I think that was part of it. And then I think ultimately that they just both sides agreed that it'd probably be better for both if they move in another direction. It's kind of fascinating, though, because Jerry's talked every which way over the last few months, and it makes you think that, oh, he's just going to find out a way to, like, you know, do it what he's done with Dak's contract and CD's contract, and just like, well, the deadline's Tuesday, so he'll get something done right before Tuesday. So waking up today and getting that news, you're a little surprised.
It's interesting to hear some of the reaction around the football world, as certainly the Dallas Cowboys are one of the most recognizable sports teams in the universe. One of their Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Troy Aikman, was on Monday Night Football, the pregame show, saying that he's not sure the job is as attractive, or to be the head coach of the Cowboys is no longer as coveted as it used to be. I know you quoted this online. So what's your reaction to what Troy had to say?
I'm not that surprised because, I mean, Troy is very plugged in. He obviously knows a lot of people in the Cowboys organization. He obviously knows a lot of people across the NFL. And in his heart of hearts, he wants the Cowboys to do well. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And so for him to say that, it doesn't surprise me, because I just feel like hearing him talk about the Cowboys over the last 4 or 5 years, I feel like he's been trending in this direction of just kind of almost beaten down with the way that the organization makes certain decisions. And it's entertaining to me, because I don't know that it would work, but one of the best moves that Jerry Jones could make for the fan base is to make Troy Aikman the general manager. Now, you can make the argument that anybody other than Jerry being the general manager would make fans happy, but Troy is just so beloved by the fan base, and he does shoot you straight on a lot of things. And so that's the only reason why it didn't surprise me that he said that about it being as coveted. I still think it is one of the top jobs. The thing that I go back to, though, is Jerry Jones doesn't pay at the top of the market for head coaches. And so he believes that to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, that guys will be willing to take a little bit less. And he hasn't been one of those guys that's paid really at the top. Like, you would think, you know, Mike McCarthy, I think in this last year, was around $7 or $8 million. Whereas, you know, there's coaches that are making $17-18 million a year. And you would think, just because you probably see and hear these Forbes lists every year that come out talking about now the Cowboys are worth $10.1 billion, and then it'll be $10.2 billion. I think most people would assume this is the wealthiest sports franchise in the world. They probably spend like it, and that's not necessarily the case.
John Machota covers the Cowboys for The Athletic and is with us in the wake of the news that Mike McCarthy and the franchise are going in different directions. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There had been at least one request from the Bears to speak to Mike McCarthy, and Jerry Jones of the Cowboys denied that. What are the chances, do you think, that McCarthy pops up at another job even before next season kicks off?
It's interesting because when you say the thing about them denying the interview with the Bears, it raised my percentage chances of Mike McCarthy coming back significantly because I just didn't think that the Cowboys would do that. But maybe it was part of a negotiating thing where Jerry thought he could drag this thing out and eventually McCarthy would give in, and that didn't end up happening. But I will say I do think the Bears would be a great fit for him. Obviously, his ties to Green Bay and the division, but I just think he would be outstanding for a young quarterback like Caleb Williams. And so a lot of things there make sense that he would bring stability to a franchise that doesn't have a lot of stability right now. And then the other one is the Saints, just because he was an assistant coach with the Saints for a long time. He has connections with that organization. They're also in a similar spot. They need some stability. And I certainly think he could bring that. So it makes sense that other teams would be interested in him. I always kind of wonder too, if like, you know, some people might look at the Cowboys job and go, yeah, well, Mike McCarthy in those 5 years, he didn't win any more playoff games than Jason Garrett did in his last 5 years. But he won 12 games in 3 years in a row. And I think other organizations might look at it like, wow, you were able to do that in Dallas? You know, what could you possibly do here?
Agreed. So, John, what have you heard so far about the Cowboys head coaching search and where they go first?
Well, the only thing that's really come out so far is that Jerry had conversations with Deion Sanders today. And obviously, that is a very on-brand Jerry Jones move to do because there's not a name in coaching that would get more attention than Deion Sanders, especially with the Cowboys ties, which is just, it's fascinating to me. I don't see that happening. I don't know that Deion would even want to coach professional athletes, but obviously you'd listen if Jerry calls, and they're obviously friends. But that's the only name so far, and believe me, I get what Jerry's doing there because everybody will talk about that and it'll be fascinating. But the thing I keep coming back to with that is after the games are over, Jerry walks out of the locker room. Most people are going to go talk to Jerry over the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, if Deion Sanders is the head coach of the Cowboys, that changes things. And it hasn't been like that around Dallas for a while. I mean, you probably have to go back to Parcells. Was probably the last time where there was really that type of, you know, head coach with that type of a personality that could kind of rival Jerry. So maybe it would be a good thing, but I still think that that's a long shot. I think the name to really focus in on here is Kellen Moore, the Eagles offensive coordinator. And if the Eagles are a team that they're looking great right now, let's say they go to the Super Bowl, Kellen Moore will be a name on a lot of people's list. But I just know that Jerry Jones really likes Kellen a lot from his time playing with the Cowboys as a backup quarterback, then as the quarterback coach, and then as their offensive coordinator. And Kellen and Dak get along really well, and they liked working with each other. And let's be honest, whoever gets this job, it's going to be all about how you work with Dak Prescott. Dak's guaranteed for the next 4 years at $60 million per year. He's got more stability than any coach they're going to hire. So that's the best feather you're going to have in your cap is, I can do this for Dak Prescott. I can make Dak, raise him to this level. And I think Kellen Moore is a name that would be very high on Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones' list.
Knowing what you know of him from his time in Dallas, is he ready to be an NFL head coach, not just a coordinator?
I think he could be. I think you'd be at best pairing him with a former head coach as maybe the DC, which could make some sense to keep Mike Zimmer because they do really like what Mike Zimmer was able to do during the back half of the season. And as the defense really kind of became more of his defense as he was kind of melding things together from Dan Quinn's defense here. And I know Micah Parsons really liked Mike Zimmer a lot. And so if Mike Zimmer wants to keep coaching, that could make sense where Zimmer would be the DC, Kellen Moore potentially the head coach, offensive coordinator, and he would have, you know, a former head coach, a veteran coach to lean on in that situation. I think that's what would really be needed because, like, Kellen Moore to me is just not the guy right now to, like, really be, like, yelling at guys and getting in their face and, like, you know, being that fiery type guy. But I've been a Duke basketball fan my entire life, and John Shire wasn't like that as a player either, but he's grown into that role as Duke's head coach, and I just see some similarities with Kellen Moore there. So there'd probably be some growing pains along the way, but I certainly could see them having mutual interest in it making sense.
Considering that Jerry Jones started this season by saying they were all in and how he does have Super Bowl aspirations, it's been nearly 30 years, how patient would he be with a younger candidate or an inexperienced candidate to grow into the role?
Yeah, he probably wouldn't be that patient. I just don't know who else is out there where it would be a fast, like, quick fix because
the search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, a lot of these names that people jump at, they were all available last year coming off of what I say is arguably the worst loss in Cowboys history, that loss to the Packers where they were just destroyed, and the Cowboys were the 2 seed and the Packers were the 7, and you can easily make the argument that the Cowboys never recovered from that, and it had residual effects throughout this entire season, that loss. But at that time, you could have moved on from Mike McCarthy and you could have had Jim Harbaugh. You could have had Bill Belichick. You could have had Ben Johnson. You know, you could have had Mike Vrabel if you really wanted him. And they really didn't move for any of those guys. So who is the one that is the answer, you know? And I don't know if they're even available with whether it's age or former coaches, you know, John Gruden, Pete Carroll, names like that. Like, so I just feel like if you don't go for the former head coach, you're going to go with someone with some inexperience. And I think because of Kellen Moore's ties with the organization, that might be a better fit.
John Machota is with us talking about the Dallas Cowboys. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I was going to ask you, what was their ultimate downfall this season? But you mentioned the carryover from that loss to the Packers. How do you think it impacted them?
Oh, big time, especially at home. I mean, you go into that Packers game, and they felt like they had everything locked up. And not locked up, but everything in order because of the fact that, you know, they were riding a 16-game home winning streak, so
right.
No team was even close to that. So over 2 seasons, you just own every team that you play at home. So you're thinking, man, we backed into this 2 seed. We're getting the Packers. They're coming into our building. The Cowboys were a 7-point favorite, and then they're just down 27-0 late in the first half. The final score ended up being way closer than the actual game was. It was never really a contest. And so when you have that, I just find it hard to believe that they just quickly put that behind them. And then the season starts, and they're just awful at home. That first 5 or 6 home games were just terrible, just getting blown out by – I mean, they even got blown out by the Saints, who – I mean, they were the first team to move on from their head coach, you know, this past season. And it just was a bad look the way the whole season started. And that was before they, you know, had the injuries to, you know, Dak Prescott that ended his season with a hamstring, and then obviously CeeDee Lamb with his shoulder. And the offense just wasn't anywhere close to what had been in the past. And they made mistakes in the offseason. They didn't do enough to upgrade the roster. Jerry Jones did Mike McCarthy no favors with what they did with that roster. They had 2 rookie starters on the offensive line, and that was a mistake. And the running back by committee with Rico Dowdle and Ezekiel Elliott and Dalvin Cook, that was a mistake too. So it's certainly not all on McCarthy, but I think Jerry wanted to give him one final season on that contract to kind of maybe right the ship, and obviously that didn't happen.
Where is the optimism for the Cowboys in 25?
I'll be honest with you. I don't even think it's like that far-fetched to see them turn it around in one offseason. If they make the right head coaching hire, I could see a path where they use the 12th pick and get an instant impact player maybe on defense or draft a running back like Ashton Jeanty, and they have success like they did in 2014 or 2016 when they were kind of coming off seasons where, you know, people didn't really have that high hopes of them, but they identified the right running back and took things off of. In 14, it was off of Tony Romo's plate, and they ran more with DeMarco Murray and led to Romo's best season. And then in 16, they drafted Ezekiel Elliott high, and that ends up leading to this great 13-3 season where they're the 1 seed with Dak Prescott as a rookie quarterback. If they got the running game fixed, I could easily see this team turning around quickly, but you got to make the right move with your head coach because there are plenty of weapons. Micah Parsons on any defense alone is going to make it decent, and they have other pieces around them. Guys like Trayvon Diggs, Demarvion Overshown, Jerron Bland. And then on offense, if you got that running game going to pair with Dak and CD, no, you could turn this thing around pretty quickly. I don't think it would be a long rebuild at all.
What gets them back over that hump then, other than the leadership? Do they need anything else?
Yeah, they could definitely use a number 2 wide receiver. There's no question about that. They have not been able to really get that guy opposite of CeeDee Lamb since they've moved on from Amari Cooper. And so certainly they could use that. I just really feel like if you get the right voice in there, you'll have a spark. Whereas I just really didn't feel that, whether it was through training camp or going into this season. It just seemed like everything was kind of going through the motions. And that can be on coaching, but that can be on the front office too, because it is top down. And waiting forever to get that CeeDee Lamb contract done, that didn't do anybody favors. Doing nothing in the offseason other than in free agency, other than adding a one-year deal on Eric Kendricks and then Ezekiel Elliott, that didn't do anybody any favors. And then to wait till, you know, a couple hours before the season opener to get Dak's contract done, that wasn't great. And then you have the injuries on top of that. So I just think if you bring in a new voice, there'll be some new energy. Mm. There's some new things to get excited about going into training camp. And I think that would be a big boost to coming off of what has been obviously a very disappointing season.
When you think about the Commanders and the Eagles, now you've got two teams from the division that are still alive in the playoffs. What stands out about the two teams that are still playing?
Yeah, it's crazy to me how, like, if you just get, you keep the game close when you're Washington, Jaden Daniels just gives you such a chance and those, you know, whether you talk about the fourth quarter or even final drive. And so, you know, going into Ford Field in Detroit, that's going to be a tough task for him, no question about it. And so, you know, he's going to have his hands full, but if you allow him, you know, the time to make plays, he can carve you up, because there's nothing about him that looks like a rookie, especially when it's in the clutch situations. And you saw that at LSU, obviously. So for me, I think that's the biggest thing. I just don't see a path for Washington beating Detroit without Jaden Daniels having just an incredible game, which he's certainly capable of. And then Philadelphia, I mean, Philadelphia is as hot as anyone right now. And so them getting the Rams, you know, I think it's a good matchup for Philly, especially with it being outside and being in the cold, you know, how that affects that Rams offense. You know, we'll see. I was kind of surprised to see that the line opened at 6 points for the Eagles. I thought it would be a little bit closer than that, but no, the Eagles are rolling. I think that they'll have a tough time, you know, going into Detroit if that ends up being the NFC Championship game. But by all means, I mean, if they stay relatively healthy, that Eagles team has everything on defense, on offense. I mean, really, it comes down to, can Jalen Hurts, you know, take care of the football and make a couple big throws here and there. And that Eagles team could easily go back to the Super Bowl. So it is interesting times in the NFC East, because I really thought it would be, you know, Eagles, Cowboys again. I still thought Washington was at least another year away, but Dan Quinn has done just an incredible job. And obviously, you know, same thing for with what they've done with Jaden Daniels has just been sensational. So it is interesting how, covering the Cowboys, you're just kind of look at Washington for such a long time. It's like, yeah, whatever. And then as soon as they sell the team, like literally immediately,
right,
the spark is lit and they become a formidable foe again.
I saw that you posted a list of repeat champions around the NFL and the other divisions, and it just does not happen in the NFC East. Why do you think that's the case now for 20-plus years that a team can't win back-to-back titles?
It's absolute insanity. It makes no sense. It'd be one thing if there was at least one or two other divisions where it's like, well, yeah, that one's hasn't had a repeat champ since like 2015. It's just like everybody, it's this year or last year, and then there's the NFC East, which is like 2004. Like, it is crazy, because, yeah, I do think that there's obviously a lot of parity. I mean, it is a very, you know, traditionally, it's a good football division, but at the same time, let's not act like there hasn't been a long stretch where Washington was down or the Giants were down, or, you know, it's like Philadelphia has been the most consistent and Dallas has been right there with them. But it just doesn't make any sense how someone hasn't been able to put it together back-to-back years, whether you're talking about the Cowboys having Dak during this stretch or coming right off the heels of having Romo. You would have thought that there would have been at least one year where the Cowboys won it back-to-back. So yeah, no, that is absolutely stunning. And it would not surprise me if there's another different champ next year. Obviously the favorite right now would have to be Washington.
Well, that's something we haven't said in a long time.
Crazy.
At John Machota, JonMachota. And now there is a coaching search underway. He covers the Cowboys for The Athletic. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes and the intel. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.